Morning.
Good to see everybody. Hopefully for, unless I've miscounted, which has happened, I forgot a birthday or two over the years. And, I'm frail and weak as anybody. Unless I've miscounted, I got a book for every family represented in this congregation. And by my friend, who was your pastor for a long time, Don Fortner. And I'm thankful for that because Don was God's messenger. He was God's prophet to Danville, Kentucky, and many other places without light in this world. How do I know that? Because he told what God said. His opinion in those books, and it's not a, this is a really good idea, and here's what I think. It's here's what this means, and here's a scriptural reference. That's what that means. You got any questions? Here's what God says. I don't like that. I can't help you on that one. God's got to make you bow to it. But that's what it means. And it served me well. I got the paperback version, and I've just about wore the spline out of it. I go to it often, find scriptural references, or you think I have it memorized by now, and I don't. But I wanted you to have a copy. I think it'll benefit all of us because God just might be getting ready to use us. I've been invited to preach throughout this country on several occasions this year. I've been asked to go to Australia, and then I don't think it's a solid or something that's going to be followed through on, but I got asked to preach in Pakistan this weekend and throughout the world, and God may use us. That sounds good in paper, don't it, until you're getting used. God may use you, us, to send his word forward. Miss Shelby sends her regards and her words of love to this congregation. And I've invited her out. I said, anytime she wants, she comes visit with us. We'll stay with her, put her up, and feed her, and she can come worship with us. And I hope the Lord will lay that on her heart before too much longer. All right. Genesis 15. Genesis 15. This really is almost a two-part message. You can't really have one without the other. And so if someone was to listen to the next hour, I'd encourage them to go back and listen to this hour. And if someone listens to this hour, hold off till the next hour. They go hand in hand. Genesis 15. Abraham asks here in verse 8 concerning the land that was promised by God. Genesis 15, 8. And he said, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? How can I know? What way will I know that I'm going to have this land? And my seed shall inherit this land. Abram wanted assurance. That's okay. Good. You want assurance? That's okay. It's okay to want assurance. You and I ought to have full assurance, shouldn't we? We have this written word of God, and we know him that it concerns. We have it in our hand. We can go look at it. Abram didn't have that. Did you know that? Abram couldn't go read the Psalms. He got a word from the Lord, and it may be a long time before he got another word from the Lord, from what we know, from what's recorded. It may be years, maybe a while. What assurance I ought to have when I'm so down and I'm so just, how am I going to know? Right there is his word, isn't it? Not to have assurance when the Lord tells us something in his word, as he proclaimed verbally to Abram, as he spoke to Abram, to not have assurance in what God says is only unbelief. What is that? It's unbelief. You don't believe God. Did he say it? Yeah. Did he mean it? Of course he did. He said it, didn't he? To not have that is just unbelief. Our assurance of salvation. How can I know I'm saved? Our assurance that the Lord will do just as he promised he will. Our assurance that truly all promises of God are in him, yea, and in him, amen. Our assurance resides, all of that. No matter what our assurance is, it resides in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ, and it resides in his work. Who he is and what he did, that's all of our assurance. You ain't going to find it in you. You ain't going to find it in an organization. You ain't going to find it in a creed. You ain't going to find it in a doctrine of theology. You ain't going to find it in Calvinism. You're going to find it in Him. Or you ain't going to get it. Christ our substitute. And that substitute, that sacrifice that He made Himself, was accepted. Who He is and what He did. That the Father accepted the sacrifice that He provided for His chosen people. When a sinner saved by grace comes to understand that for the first time, when that's made alive to you, real, for the first time. Or when somebody's been saved by grace, you're reminded of that once again, that God is satisfied with the sacrifice of His darling Son. It pleased Him to bruise His Son. When you're reminded of that, when you get a hold of that, when you realize it, that's when you have assurance. That's when we have assurance. We will be confident and content on what has took place. We'll be confident. We'll be content on what's taking place right now. What's God's doing in this world? What's that? All. Is there things in this world you ain't content with? Well, when we see Him, we'll say amen. The Lord does it. And what shall take place? You'll be confident, content in what has took place, what's taking place right now, and what shall take place. Where am I going to be? This life's going to end. I haven't. There's a big controversy right in the 90s. Remember, they said, well, the doctor said, well, they expired when somebody died in the hospital. That's just rude. Well, is it? I have an expiration date. There's a time appointed for me, isn't it? I left. I was no more. I expired. Time's up. Lord took me home. His time's appointed. I'll be confident in that. We won't have assurance when we look to ourselves, and we won't have assurance when we look to this world. It ain't going to happen. You may get a fix. You may get a little warm fuzzy for a fleeting moment. It's a pacifier to people that won't bow to God. That's all it is. You know what a pacifier does? You take a baby, and you want that baby to grow. You want that baby to have life. Give it a pacifier. And then give it another pacifier. And then give it another pacifier. What's going to happen to that baby? It's going to starve to death and it's going to die. What's it need? Milk. It needs a bottle, don't it? We need the sincere milk of His Word. Abram's going to call out to God to cry to Him that he may know. Lord, let me know. And the Lord's going to point him to the sacrifice that He demands and the sacrifice that He provides. That's what's going to happen. You who experienced the grace of God and you that need assurance, when you're reminded that Christ bore all of our sin, He bore all of our guilt on that cross, and that the Father was well pleased, that God accepted that propitiation He provided, and we're in Him. He's our substitute. We're made one with Him. That means we're accepted too. He accepted Christ. That means He accepted those in Christ. When that's stirred up in your heart one more time, is there anything else more reassuring? Is there anything else I need to know that make me feel better? There's nothing more needed, because there's one thing needful. Him, to be in Him. Turn over to Colossians 2, the simplicity of union. Colossians 2, it ain't complicated. How somebody say, well, here's a long laundry list of things you got to do and say and pray and stop doing and start doing. And no, you need to be one with Christ. That's the completeness of it. Colossians chapter 2. Here in verse 9 it says, for in Him, in Christ, the God-man, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. That means in Emmanuel, God with us, when Christ came to this earth, the whole fullness of the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost manifest in Him. He's it. And you are complete in Him. What else you got to do? Well, now it's Christ plus. Now you got to add, you got to start, you got to stop. You're complete. What's complete mean? Complete. Can't add nothing to it. You can't take nothing away from it. It's done. It's complete. And you are complete in Him, which is the head of all principalities and powers, in whom also you're circumcised. I need to be circumcised. Are you required to do that? With a circumcision made without hands, in the putting off the body of sin of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism. You have to be baptized? Buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins and uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together. He circumcised us in the heart. We're baptized with him. He's quickened us together, gave us life with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us. Why is it contrary? We can't do it. And took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them. What about this salvation? Is this hid in a corner? No. Salvation of the Lord, that's going to be declared. What Christ did, who he is and what he did for his people, it's going to be openly declared throughout the ages. Everybody's going to hear. Well, how do we respond to those things? You feeling assured now? Unless you want to add something to it, then you ain't going to be too happy. But if he's everything, I'm assured. Now what? What do we do with that? We got some assurance. How do you handle that? Verse 16. Let no man. Who's that? I'm a man. What if I was alone on a deserted island? I accuse me. The biggest cause of unbelief and lack of assurance in me is me. Let no man, not even me, not even you. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or drink or in respect of a holy day or of a new moon or of the Sabbath, which are shadows of things to come. But the body is of Christ. His person, his work is our assurance. That's what it is. Being one with him, being made one with him, what he's done. Now back in our text here in Genesis 15. How can I know God will give me what he promised? How can I know? Verse 6 says, Genesis 15, 6, and he believed the Lord. The Lord took Abram out. He said, I need a sign. He said, come outside, Abram, look up. You see them stars? Count them. So shall your seed be. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. Abraham was counted righteous because righteousness was there. It was in him because God put it there. What's the proof? What's the proof that Abram was righteous? He believed. What's the proof there's a new man in Abraham? He believed. It was counted to him. It was reckoned to him. He didn't merit it, but it's his. He didn't produce that belief, but now he possesses it. It belongs to him. He didn't pay for it. He owns it. Isn't that contrary to the way we think? Isn't that contrary to this old flesh? God did something for him. He saved him. It was counted to him. He counted to him for righteousness. Verse 7 says, and he said unto him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of Ur the Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit it. When the Lord blesses his people, he always lets them know that it's him that's doing the blessing. If you're blessed, if something wonderful happened spiritually, in spiritual places and heavenly places, or if something's happened in your heart, or something's happened in this earth, if I get my next meal, the Lord's going to make it known to his people he gave it. If I have life that's eternal, he's going to let his people know he gave it. It ain't our wise decisions. And it ain't our wisdom, and it ain't our good doing. It's him that does it. I can't do that. Did you know that? That needs said. I can't bless anybody. A man can't bless another man. Do you know that? I ain't a priest. I don't mediate between God and man. Christ does. I can pray for him to do it. Do you know that? I can pray for God to bless you. I can't bless you, but I can ask him. That's what that great Aaronic benediction was, wasn't it? The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. That's who's speaking here. That's who's speaking to Abram. Verse 7, he said unto him, I am the Lord. He declares who he is. And then he declares what he did for Abram. He saved him. He said, I am the Lord that brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldees. God commanded Abram to leave Ur, and Abram obeyed, didn't he? He believed God, and he did what God said. But what does it say here? He said, I brought you out. Where'd that belief come from? Where'd that obedience come from? God gave it. Can he boast in that? It ain't going to happen either. You going to have anything? If there's one iota a man or woman can glory in, they're going to glory in it. And God won't have it. I knew a man that gave Bill Gates $100 back in 1980. I don't, but if I did, what do you think that fellow would talk about? Well, I know he built this massive company and corporation. He stayed up late and he did everything, but I gave him $100 back in 1980. That's what we glory in. If we had one thing to contribute, God won't have it. He said, I brought you out. And then the Lord gives the purpose for calling him out, to give thee this land to inherit it. The gospel declares who God is and what he's done for his people through his son. That's the good news. Who saved us? Christ did. He shed his own blood. He willfully laid down his life. He provided himself as the lamb. He provided himself as the sacrifice. That's who saved us. What did he save us from? And now we kind of come into the rubber meeting road on us, doesn't it? He saved us from ourselves. What's me? Sin, darkness, idolatry, death, isn't it? This wicked world that we're just so a part of and we love so much and we just cling to with every fiber in us. That's what he declares he's brought us out of. That land of the Chaldees, that idol worshiping. And everybody's just hunky-dory. They didn't know nothing was different. The Lord brought him out of that. He left it. He ain't there no more. You see that? He was there. And he left it. The Lord brought him out. You turned from your idols. You knocked it off. Why? He made you. He made you. Then the gospel declares what he's given us. Who saved us? Christ did. Him laying down his life, his person and work. What he saved us from? Ourselves, sin, depravity, darkness, death, iniquity, wickedness, perverseness. What does he give us? Eternal life. Right now. Eternal forgiveness. He gives us complete righteousness. And he gives us a place to dwell with him. A mercy seat that God will meet with us. We get to be made like him. We get to be with him. I can't imagine. I don't care if the streets are gold or asphalt. It don't make a difference. He's there. What nonsense people come up with. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. A place. We're going to be somewhere. And it's ours. It's prepared for you. He provided it and we possess it with him, in him. What a thought. The salvation from a curse of the law, it's ours. The righteousness he gave us, made us, is ours. The rightful place in heaven is ours because we're in him, because we're in Christ. Abram wanted a sign. God gave it and Abram believed. He was counted righteous in the eyes of the Lord because he was. Then the Lord declares again to Abram who he is, what he's done for him, what he's going to do for him. And now here's what this great believer asks. Verse 8, and he said, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? You know what comes to mind? You ever been a kid and you ask your parents on a long car ride, are we there yet? Well, how am I going to know? Can I see a sign? Give him a sign. Yeah, but how am I going to know? Just probably looking down and kicking rocks. It's like a child, isn't it? It's like a child. It's easy for you and I to ask, how could Abraham doubt? I wrote that and I thought, how could he doubt? The Lord just took him outside, spoke to him, told him everything he's already done, told him what he is doing, told him what he's going to. He believed. He believed God. What more you need? How easy it's for me to say, how could Abraham doubt? But how quickly do I doubt? Peter said the Lord shined on that mountain of transfiguration. Peter was there when God Almighty opened up the heavens and said, this is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. And then he gave the effectual command, hear him. You listen to somebody, you listen to him. Do it. And Peter did, didn't he? And what did he tell us? We have also a more sure word of prophecy. Whoa. We'll see that next hour. It's vital. We have Christ, the Word, the living Word, and we have it in the written Word. And all across this country right now, it's on tables, it's in your hand, on your cell phone, on tablets, any way you want it, any language you want it in. Here's God's word about His Son. And we can have the word and the promises of God right into us. Now that'll take understanding. Somebody run around with the Bible without the understanding of who God is and who man is and the gospel, and without knowing God, that's like a baby with a hand grenade. That's dangerous. It's vitally dangerous, eternally dangerous to people. But having this and knowing Him, I still doubt. And there's times I pray, Lord, how shall I know? How can I know, Lord? How can a sinner know? God must do a work in him. He has to teach him. What will a sinner know? That God's got to do the work in them and that He's got to teach them. They'll know that. Our assurance is it's finished. The fact that it is finished, yes, and who said it? What a twofold blessing. What's the answer to any lack? You need something. You need assurance. What's the answer to that? If there's any problem at all, if all the people of Israel are chiding Moses and Moses said, Lord, they're going to kill me. They're not kind of upset with me and a little disgruntled. They're taking up stones. They're going to kill me. What do you say? Go smite the rock, Moses. Show them Christ and Him crucified one more time. Show them the sacrifice. That's the answer. In verse 8 it says, and he said, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? Verse 9 says, and he said unto him, take me an heifer of 3 years old, and she-goat of 3 years old, ram of 3 years old, and a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. Quickly, I want to touch on these. Brother Paul Mahan had a wonderful message on this, but if I find it, I'll send it to you. But he says, take me. The Lord speaks to Abram, says, take me. Not take you. Not take you, take me. Take me. Christ offered himself up to the Lord. That's what he did. He said, take a heifer. What's that? You know a heifer's a cow that hasn't had a calf? It's completely pure. It's completely undefiled in the newness of life. That's 3 years old. Take me a heifer of 3 years old. Our Lord walked this earth for 3 years preaching the gospel. His ministry was 3 years, and that was it. It stopped. We had His word now. Boy, am I thankful for it. He was there for 3 years. A she-goat and a ram. That's a pair, isn't it? That's a bride and a husband. That's what that is. What about that ram? That ram was the one that was caught in a thicket. Remember, Abram went up the hill. A turtle dove. Psalm 74 and the Song of Solomon tells us that's the bride of Christ. His church. Well, how could we be a sacrifice? We're one with Him. We're one with Him. As He is, so are we. And a young pigeon. That's the sacrifice accepted by the one that was just too poor to have anything else. All this took place before Leviticus came out. Yeah, I know. God doesn't change, does He? What if I'm a great cattleman? What if I'm Job and I own all these cattle? God's going to have blood. What if I can't even buy a pigeon? I got to catch one. God's going to require blood. That's what it is. Who does all that point to? These heifers and these goats, and these pigeons and these turtle doves. It's Christ. It's Christ. The Lord told Abram, you go take these things. And Abram obeyed. He didn't, but. Do you know, well, why has it got to be a turtle dove? Well, don't I need two turtle doves? Well, what about this? Well, what color they got to be? No, he did it. The Lord spoke to him and he obeyed it. Verse 10 says, and he took unto him all these things and divided them in the midst and laid each piece one against another. And the birds divided he not. We'll learn more about that if we ever get to Leviticus. They took heads off. Why? This body's intact. Christ, our head, was what was offered to God. He went for us. This was orderly. This was not haphazard. Our God is a God of order. He's a God of order. And what happens whenever our great propitiation is clearly and orderly laid out? Christ the sacrifice, when He goes out, when that's proclaimed, what's going to happen? You know what happens if we spread the gospel? There's going to be some naysayers. There's going to be some trouble coming. You want to forego that and not spread the gospel? What do you think is going to happen? I got some junk mail back here in the office. Nonsense. Nonsense. What do I expect? God's working. What happens when Christ is clearly proclaimed? When that sacrifice that God demands, and his son is put out there neatly and orderly. What happens? Look at verse 11. And then the fowls came down upon the carcasses. Abram drove them away. Buzzards came. Meat eaters came. Ravens came. And they picked apart the sacrifice. Here's what God requires. Well, I don't know about that. Well, now you got to understand this. Here's these little intricate details. God requires his son. That's the perfection he requires. Well, now hold on now. Buzzards came. Ravens came. Ungodly birds came that devour death. The flesh eaters came down to pick apart the sacrifice. And Abraham drove them away. You don't debate with a buzzard. Do you know that? You shoo it away. You don't go out and have a long theological conversation with a bird that eats dead meat. You say, get out of here, throw a rock at it. Beat it. That's easy for it. We like picking up rocks, don't we? I'll do it. I'll clean the house. What needs clean? How many buzzards do I have in me? Verse 17, and it came to pass. Down to verse 17. We'll look at these other verses next time. Verse 17, and it came to pass that when the sun went down and it was dark, behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp that passed between those pieces. It came to pass when the sun went down at the end of time. It was dark, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp that passed between those pieces. What's smoke? That's fire consuming something, isn't it? Isn't that a consuming fire? That means whatever was provided to the Lord for sacrifice was accepted. He took it up. It was burnt. There's smoke there. And a burning lamp. What's a burning lamp? Light. And that darkness on Calvary, who was there? God was there. God was dealing with God on our behalf. What a thought. And he was moving right between those pieces. That's where he was. And there was smoke because he accepted his son. You want assurance? You want to know? God accepted Christ the Lamb. Is that good enough for you? Is that enough assurance for you? He accepted his son and those in him. False religion will point you to anything but Christ for assurance. False prophets, ministers of Satan, will go out and they'll say, you had a feeling. Well, you had an experience. You got a baptism card from when you was 9 years old. Well, you do something. How you live now. Look at how you used to live. Well, now you really cleaned up your act. I'm different now. That won't give assurance. That won't save. And that won't give lasting contentment. Look what I do for the gospel's sake. Look what Christ did for the gospel's sake. For his name's sake. That's what'll give assurance. That's what'll give contentment. Assurance is found by looking to the Lamb of God. And it comes from looking to the same one God's looking to. The only assurance we're going to have is looking to the Lamb of God, Christ and Him crucified. And it comes from looking to the same one, to Him, that God's looking to, that the Father looks to. I thought I had this in the bulletin, but I didn't. So this morning, last minute, I stuck at my notes. Brother Clay Curtis wrote this. God said to Noah, "The bow shall be in the cloud, and I will look upon it, that I may remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is upon the earth." That's in Genesis 9:16. He writes, "It is comforting to consider that when we look upon a rainbow in the sky, God is looking upon that same rainbow." You ever thought about that? When I look at that rainbow and I remember God's covenant, God's looking at that rainbow. He hung it. He says he looks at it. Even more comforting is that our Heavenly Father is looking upon His Son, remembering the everlasting covenant of grace towards each elect child of our Savior, perfected by His one offering. You know why we have assurance looking to Christ? Because God looks at Christ. And He's satisfied. He's accepted. What, you know what a privilege that is? Do you know how rare that is? We don't have some cousins out there that happen to be related, but they have different daddies and mommies. No, there's one family of God, and it's a rare thing to be a child of God and to look to the one that died for us and to know that's the only way that God's going to be just and the justifier. Look at wisdom next hour. That's a precious gift, a precious gift. And this took place at night. Abram's out there looking at stars at nighttime, right? Couldn't sleep. Lord, give me a sign. He gave him a sign. Yeah, but how am I going to know? It's 2 a.m. He's wallowing around, isn't he? God said, my son's going to come. And that's all you need. What a privilege that is. At night or at day, look to him. That's peace. Because that's who the Father looks at. And he's well pleased with his son. I hope that's a blessing to you. All right. Father, we're so prone to need signs, and we're so prone to doubt and be unknowing and just wallow in our own unbelief. Lord, in all occasions, allow us to see who Christ is and what he did, what he accomplished for his people, and that you're well pleased. Lord, thank you for this hour. Thank you for teaching us these things and giving us life. Thank you for quickening us and giving us ears to hear of him. Thank you for giving us a heart that praises him and is grateful for your salvation. Lord, allow us to praise him. Give us a desire and the ability to worship your son. Be with those that aren't with us, Lord. Those that you've sent illness to and trials to. Show them the same assurance you promised you will. It's in Christ's name that we ask it. Amen. All right.